people that are going to suffer are the ordinary people on the ground. And we are going to make sure that as a department we will work together with the members. I think next week, as I said in my opening remarks, we will be making sure and going to Northwest to assist them to make sure that they do use the money. And they have a problem, yes, I in terms of the staffing, and which is being all the members raised a number of matters which have asked to be addressed as a matter of agency. They, in their request, they are assisting them with the staffing, the project management, and financial compliance. There is progress, but still has a substantial amount of work to be done. And I think just to request DDG Mshabane to go through exactly if they can share with the members of parliament what they exactly doing in the Northwest to assist. And again, Chair, I think the HOD started in October last year, and she's trying her best to stabilize the department. And I hope that we will assist and make sure that the Northwest is stable. Now, I would like to request DDG Mshabane, if you can take us through to all the areas of work that you do in the Northwest.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members. The Provincial Department of Human Settlements is under Section 101A, intervention in terms of the Constitution. As the Deputy Minister indicated, strictly speaking, it means the National Department gives the directives to the province to undertake certain tasks. And I think from the beginning of the onset of the intervention, those directives were given. And they are simple, Chairperson. It is to ensure that this produces a credible business plan for delivery. Secondly, that there's a forward planning. We deal with block projects in the province. We also, Chair, have to make sure that the department is fit for purpose. Three things have happened, Chairperson, and these are directives. At the time, the minister's view was that we can't just give directives, but we have to provide hands-on support and be present in the province. And that's exactly what our brief has been. Now, I know the committee is interested in the progress and the impact of that intervention, Chair. From the time we started, the province made a big turnaround. Members would not have heard about the Northwest struggling. But part of the intervention was to create a standalone department, which has now been done. However, the department is yet to complete its establishment. The Deputy Minister talked about some vacancies, some of the posts were filled, some staff members seconded from other departments. All that it means, Chairperson, is that the risk of a functional department has suddenly escalated. So what have we done? We have then sat down with the HOD, the administrator, and the office of the premier to then work out the quickest way to resolve these establishment issues. However, Chair, it then impacts on delivery, notwithstanding the lockdown, because that's one dimension. The has struggled to comply with the grant management requirements. And Chair, it's a double-edged sword. When the department does not comply, despite all the work that we do together jointly, the department in the province remains accountable for compliance, and not the national department, the provincial department, because we did not take away the executive authority. So that is why when there was compliance failures, we had to then execute or activate the provisions of the Division of Revenue Act as well as the PFMA. Obviously, we can't continue to transfer the grants to the province when there are these compliance failures. And by the way, these compliance failures are known because we've sat down with the province, indicated what needs to be done, how it needs to do it, and that's what the province, in the department in the province, is attending to. If those matters are resolved and they can defeat the non-compliance, the grant will then be released. But related to that is, what is then the expenditure delivery? And again, I suspect, Chair, in our subsequent report, we'll have to then come back with the province to demonstrate the work we do on the intervention, the progress on delivery, because that's important. You do not want to arrive at a point where the money is spent, but you can't show what it has been spent on. And that's the risk that we are managing with the department. Similarly, you do not want a scenario where the funds are transferred to the department in the province, but they are not administered in a compliant manner. It will be reckless of the national department, it will be irresponsible, and therefore we would have to account for our action of transferring the grants when we are very well aware that the department is not complying with the provisions of the law. Chair, it has always been clear to us in the national department that we must do everything possible to help the department in the province to execute its mandate, including then delivering on what is in the business plan. But if that doesn't happen, you have to execute consequence management, but also compliance administration thereof. Chair, we are comfortable that what needs to happen in the department in the province is clear, it's explicit, it's not second guessing, but we are not there, Chair. And I think as the province prepares and submits their recovery plans, we are able to then collectively agree what is working or what is not working. And where things are not working, as we've always done in the past, we are able to take the hands of the province to work with them towards a successful delivery. But Chair, we do not want to mislead the committee and paint the picture that everything is fine. We are having these deficiencies that I've just outlined. The last part, Chair, and I think it's important that the committee is alive to it, is the reality that, and I know that the Deputy Minister has indicated the same, and the HOD can also clarify. We have withheld a grant from the province so that these compliance requirements can be fulfilled. The intention, Chair, is to comply with the law, because the appropriation, the divisions of revenue, as approved by Parliament, imposes these obligations on both the province and the national department. So if the province is not complying and meeting those requirements, the national department has to act within its ambit of authority. And that's what has happened, Chair. It's a normal process. Every year we get to this process with all the provinces where when they are not spending or when there's no compliance, we stop the grant so that we can then clean up all of those compliance issues, delivery and performance issues, reconcile all of that. And where there's a need, the grants are reduced from the underperforming provinces and reallocated to perform. performing provinces. That's how the national system works, Chairperson, and I think we will come back to the committee in due course in that respect. We've enjoyed, maybe let me stop there, Chairperson. That's what the committee was asking. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, I would like to request the MEC to say something. Maybe it would be unfair if we round up without giving them the chance to speak. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Pierre. We are going to give them, because the HOD would want to make his own view. Let's allow
him.
Who's that? As Member of Parliament, Mokoto. Yes, they are not finished, Honourable Member. Let's allow the HOT and the MEC to speak to the issues. HOT, let's start with the and the MEC will close.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, members would remember that in the sixth administration, the Department of Human Settlements was created as a standalone department. The province undertook what is termed the provincial macro of organization of government, which was led by the Section 100 team from the Department of Public Service and Administration. There was a delay in the finalization of the CMOC process, which led to insufficient capacity for the Department of Human Settlements. The department itself, Chair, was formally registered as a department or was supposed to be set up as a separate department on the 1st of November 2019, Chair. And that did not happen on time, and as the process was unfolding, we were hit by COVID and went under lockdown, Chair. The process was resumed as soon as we could go back to work, and we got registered with SARS as well as the Government Employee Pension Fund. The only registration that was outstanding at the time was for the Department of Labor with the Compensation Fund. So, Chair, the Department, the National Provincial Treasury is assisting the Department in this regard to ensure that we are sufficiently registered as a department and can operate as a standalone department. And second to this, Chair, is that the PMOC process indicated that we need to await the unfolding of the process itself to be compliant to the PSCBC 1 of 2019 resolution, which meant we had to wait for the Department of Local Government, or as it was then, and Human Settlements, to give us concomitant resources, which is staff, to support the Department of Human Settlements. The process, as I said, took longer than had been anticipated. The department only got its own staff from the allocation from Cooperative Governance and Health Affairs of 74 warm bodies and 49 vacancies, Chair. But in the meantime, while that was unfolding, we approached the administrator in the office of the Premier, Nathan Banza, and we requested the amendment of officials who were coming from the Department of Tourism. And they were seconded by letter, and they've been assisting the department, Chair, even though they belong to the Department of Economic Development, Environment, Conservation and Tourism, Chair. So we have continued to perform our functions. We started off with the department, as I said, and have been trying to be compliant with all of what we found, Chair. Yes, the initial report that we sent to the staff were told that they had not been obtained. The other report that we found is submitting going forward. We've corrected those, Chair, and are interacting with the provincial and national treasury to correct the issues that the DDG is raising as non-compliance, Chair, to make sure that we are compliant with the DORA report in all respects and make sure that both our financial and non-financial reports fit to what the national department wants to see. Yes, Chair, a letter was written to the province indicating the intention to withhold. We responded there to, and after that, Chair, we got a letter that said the grant would be withheld for a period of 30 days. So, Chair, we're working fast and furious to address the issues and concerns that have been raised by the national department. The credible business plan, Chair, we can assure the committee that the business plan has been submitted and has been approved. The forward planning, Chair, yes, we found the department in the past of procuring in the year in which the projects were to be rolled out, which meant that there would be late procurement. So we are looking to correct that. On the big projects, the broad projects are part of our business plan currently, which we are addressing so that those communities can benefit. And the fee-for-purpose structure on double chair, we are working with the National Department of Human Settlements to come up with a fee-for-purpose structure. The MEC has already signed the interim structure, which initially had been signed by the Minister of Public Service and Administration, but did not have management posts. So MEC has signed off the amended structure, which we are now consulting on with the National Department as well as the GPSA. So we should be able to can change, finish on the fit-for-purpose structure in the shortest possible time. So we may have challenges, but in the 4 months in the year, taking into account that April, May, and June, there was no activity from the construction sector, we spent 38.7% of our budget, and we have invoices almost of 150 million that we need to process Chair. So we are confident, the Chair, that the department, even with its challenges, would be able to can continue performing and holding contractors answerable to their obligations, Chair. That is the mandate that the MEC has given, which we are implementing, Chair, without fail, to make sure that the people of the Northwest, they benefit. And one of the things that was also raised by the National Department, Chair, is that on the HSS, there are almost close to 24,000 to 30,000 people who have been approved on the system, but they have not gotten the benefit of a house. We are in the process of cleaning that. The DG has requested that we give an account in the next 14 days. And Chair, we are working to clean up the system with all the teams in the department to make sure that the people that have benefited, we can take off the system, those that have not, that are prioritized where there is development in the province. The recovery plan, Chair, National Department will have the recovery plan in the next couple of minutes. And we have finalized, Chair. What we have done, amongst others, is to pull services and bounce projects that were for the outer years into the immediate, because we have performed sufficiently well on the provision of services, especially at the M14, where Dr. Tinte has spent 102% in the first two quarters of the year. So we are confident that with the assistance of the National Department, we will continue to correct the mistakes of the past, but also to perform to maximum, because we recognize that this is a very important department, because the people without homes means they do not have any dignity at all, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, HOD MEC. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me greet you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Ministers, DGs, DDGs who are here, HODs, and the officials. Chair, I must say that as the Northwest Province, as the DM has said, we have challenges. She stated out clearly the challenges that we are having in the province. But I must also say that with the help of the National Department, including the DM, with your help and assistance, working together with us as an advocate in the province, it really assists us a lot. Because from time to time, we are in touch with yourselves so that we can be able to overcome our challenges. The HOD has clarified the fact that in terms of the blocked projects, it is in the plan now, because those blocked projects have been there for a very long time. And when we met, we targeted them to say that it can be that as a department we are unable to unblock those projects, but they are in their business plan. And in terms of what the DM has said on the grant that we are likely to forfeit, we are working together, and I'm happy that there will be a meeting with us in the province where we are the roadshow that the DM has spoken about, that we can fast-track other things that need to be done before the closing date of the And it's true that once the grant is taken from the province, and the people who are suffering or who are getting hit hard is the communities of the Northwest. So we have said as EXCO and said that we need to have the strategy on how are we going to deal with that. But now that we are going to have those workshops and where the national UN, you are going to be part of those meetings, is going to assist us a lot. I must say that we are having challenges, but working together with yourself, the chair, and the committee, and the national department, we are going to overcome them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, MEC. Honorable Mokotso, you...
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to make a follow-up. My question is with regard to the four municipalities of Northwest, with regard to the allocation made towards drought alleviation has not been answered. For example, we are having this contractor at Madibe municipality whose contract has been terminated due to non-performance, yet he spent 6 million and he was just chased away. I want to know what happened after his contract has been terminated. Did the municipality or the department or the MEC just leave that a contractor to go away with public money? And another thing, what happened to the accounting officer? Because when there was non-performance, when there was non-compliance by this contractor, the accounting officer was there in the municipal office of Madibe. What was he doing? Did he account? Was there any consequence management applied towards this accounting officer? And again, we have Moses Kotani municipality, we have Nagamudiri Mulema, we have Ruth Mumbati municipality, where millions of money have been allocated for drought relief in those municipalities. But there are no projects which are indicated on the table which we are given in our presentation to show that these millions have been spent to do 1, 2, 3 projects. I just want to know, why don't we have any projects here indicated, you know, to show that this money, you know, was well spent. And again, when you go to Nagamudiri Mulema, we have about 5,371,992 million, which was supposed to be, you know, made to a rollover. But that money, you know, into thin air. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mokotso. Can I allow GM Makovo to respond to those, and if we don't, and or the, because some of the issues belong to municipal boxer. Can I allow DM Matlovo, and so that we can then now
maybe to add one or two things, but we can't
be in a position to speak about issues of consequence management, because local government is a sphere on its own, and they are able to run their affairs as government in terms of the management of employees and labor-related matters, including issues about who to contract or not to contract. Charlie, if you can just come in quickly then before Comrade MBC can assist us on behalf of the province, because those, some of those municipalities are under administration.
Thank you, Jim. In terms of the main contractor, who has not done anything but was paid, in terms of the report that we received from Madibe, there were studies that were done, the geophysics, the hydrology was done in 23 villages. They also did the testing, in rather the sighting, drilling, and testing. But then that's all that the contractor was doing. Then it delayed in terms of equipping and fitting, and that's why he was terminated. But there were studies done in 23 villages, which account for the 6 million. In terms of the rollover, or maybe let me indicate that we do have a spreadsheet that shows the projects that were implemented under the drought relief program. However, we didn't put all of them. We sort of summarized the report for the presentation, but we do have that information. We can avail it. Now, Kamadir Mulema submitted a draft closeout report, and they indicated that they have an over expenditure. In meetings that we've had with them, they were actually requesting for more funding because they have overspent. That's what the report says. They overspent in the implementation of the drought relief programs. The 157 million that was allocated to NGAKA was actually divided. We gave Sidibeng Water 47 million to address some of the areas that were identified as hotspots. And remember also, members, that the minister did, the previous minister did start the program of eliminating tankering. Because one thing that we also realized was that infrastructure was deliberately vandalized so that people can bring in tanks. So there was a concerted effort to try and eliminate tankering in those villages by trying to resuscitate the infrastructure that was already in place to ensure that we can do away with tanker. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I'm not sure whether Her Excellency Comrade MSC would want to come in and add, but we're just speaking on ourselves on the question of the reports that are at our disposal. And we commit Chairperson that will also share that information with the office of the chair. We can ask the MBC if she's having anything to respond, Chair.
MBC, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I must say that the GM is right to say that in terms of the responses, in actual fact, you, Chair, have said it correctly that we remember that human settlement is a standalone department. When we deal with municipalities, we deal with another part of the department. So it has its own HOD. So, but I can say that in this committee that in terms of Madibe is under Section 1391B. So the administrator there are reports that he has actually done in terms of investigation, Chair. So in terms of things that Honourable Member has asked of, we will report that and submit that to through you, Chair, the written response on what
contractor and what happened after that, because these are some of the things that are still under investigation. So the administrator, they will be in a position to give us a report. Then that report will be submitted to Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, MEC, for the commitment. Please send that report within 7 days, if we can, so that to the secretary of this committee, which is Ms. Koliswa, I think Koliswa must send you the detail for you to send those response, and members can be finished with them. And thank you very much. Members, this was the last province that we were engaging on. The purpose, as we started, was that to engage with the system that we are operating within. And as we're going to engage with the BRRR, we'll then be able to make substantial recommendations to both ministers of water and sanitation and minister of finance, for them to consider the issues that, as we're going to engage with the annual report, then would have the clear indication of how the system of water and sanitation and human settlement are operating in the entire country. And we want to thank the National Department for working with us to engage on the business plans of the provinces, for us to be able to now understand where we are in terms of the provision of housing in the country, and the provision of water in the country, and as we're going to engage, because within the program, we will still have the meeting that is outstanding between ourselves and COFTA on the issues of tariffs, the issues of debts with municipalities, SALGA, and public work. So we still want to have that engagement, including the engagement with the SIU, which is going to build us, prepare us to engage with the annual report, and then we'll have a fair assessment of the department. All these meetings were very important for the preparation of the annual report, for the fair process assessment of the department. The second issue, as we conclude on Northwest, I think there was an issue that there should be some follow-up, particularly with the issues that have been raised, and would see how we bring them into the system for us to finalize them. And I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody who has managed to attend this meeting, and the MEC and the HOD. And HOD, with the other report that needs to finish with us is on the block project, because what we want on the understanding of the problem and where is the budget of those houses, why blocked, what is it that the government has done? So if we have paid the service providers without them doing the job, we expect the province to have a process to reclaim the money of government, because those people have not performed. And if it's a misappropriation by officials, would want to know what is it that has been done to those that were implicated in those areas. So we'll need that a formal report, HOD and the MEC on the block project, because one of the things is that Treasury would not allow to use the budget, the present budget, without accounting for that budget that was not used. If it has been taken back, then it will be easier for you to get that money back without challenges. But if the money has not reached the system,
to account for the money before we can even entertain some of those issues. So the report is very important if we can be finished with that. And within 7 days of this meeting, and I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.